Say hello to someone next to you, ask them why they came here today.
Thank you. Love you too.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's the Miss America wave. World peace. World peace. Let's see your Bibles this morning. See your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. You guys awake this morning? Some energy in the room? Amen. Very good. Lord, I just thank you for all the energy. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that Genesis 2 is very easy to find. If you start in the beginning, you will find it quickly. Pray you bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I have some of my most interesting conversations when I'm witnessing to people and hear the most interesting things. And one of the most common things I hear when I start sharing my faith with somebody is they say, well, you know, I'm not into religion, I'm spiritual. And I want to say, you know, I do say, what do you mean by spiritual? Many people are looking, especially now in America, for a spiritual experience. There's a new book called New Earth that from Eckhart Tolle that Oprah's pushing very heavily, and actually doing these webcasts every week, and it's almost like her new church. Even though she doesn't call it a church, they call it a spiritual experience. They say, you can have your religion, but this is spiritual. It's a different deal. Some of you may be reading that book and into those tapes. And so I don't want to talk necessarily too much about her book yet, that book yet, because I'll do that in another series. But I do want to talk about being spiritual, because there is a danger into wanting spiritual things without knowing what spirit you're calling on. And so I want to talk about that. If you're reading the book or your friend is, that you be very clear what they are talking about and what they are not talking about, or whoever it is you're talking about being spiritual. And so we want to talk about that. Now, first thing we want to know is, what is a spirit? And I believe that we all have a craving to be spiritual because God made us spiritual beings. But what is a spirit? Well, if we're going to talk about what a spirit is, we got to first talk about what a person is. Look to the person next to you and say, are you a person? Are you a person? When you think of a person, a lot of times we think of a body. We think of hands, voice, eyes, head, arms, legs. But that's not really what makes you a person. There are people without arms and legs. There are people who are persons that can't talk. There are people who are persons who can't walk, who can't see, who can't hear. So that's not really what makes you a person. What makes you a person is actually what you can't see. It's the invisible part of you. It's your ability to love. It's your ability to have compassion, to understand. It's your ability to have a relationship with God and your ability to have a relationship with God and to share that relationship with other people, to reflect God's love and express God's love and express God's creativity, express God's dominion or control and planning and running of things. God gave you that ability as a person to have a relationship with Him, relationship with other people in a way that glorifies Him. I was in La Mesa prison in Tijuana. Their biggest prison in Tijuana is called La Mesa prison. And it's a very different from a United States prison. When you go to United States prisons, you're not in there with your family. You're in there by yourself. The guards don't walk around with guns. They have guns in certain isolated places, but the guards in the general population do not have guns on their person. When you go to a Mexican prison, at least the few I've been in, I've been in several, the guards have guns in their hands walking around. And when you walk in, La Mesa prison specifically, it's a big courtyard with a bunch of taco stands, guys selling tacos. You have families who live in the prison with you. If you have enough money, you can have your family live in there with you. You could build your own little apartment. Little kids run around, grandparents, and they do their time literally with you in the prison. So we went in there, we're walking around. It was, you know, one guy might have an apartment, and other people are living in literally cages. And this one guy was in a cage. You can call it a cell, but the reason I called it a cage because it was bars all around, and it was outside. It wasn't inside. It was outside, and he was on a second floor. And he was literally in the cage running back and forth, grabbing onto the cage, screaming at people. You couldn't communicate with him. You couldn't have a relationship with him. And I would tell you that even though he was a human, I don't know how much of a person he was because he couldn't have a relationship. We all know people that you can't relate to them and they can't share love. You can't share love. They can't receive love. They're just disconnected. And the devil is eroding their ability to be a person. They're an individual, but to be a person. So your person is your ability to have relationship, to love, basically to reflect the heart of God to other people. That's your person. Now I want you to think of the spirit as an invisible, sometimes visible, but a non-physical, eternal person. A spirit is a non-physical, mostly invisible, eternal person. In other words, it's someone just like you and me. Think, reason, love, have compassion, share, have plans, vision, but they're eternal and they're smarter than you. Say smarter than me. They're more powerful than you. Say more powerful than me. They are everything you are except on steroids times 100. Let's say that's a spirit. And so this spirit you can have a relationship with. Now, when you say you want to have a spiritual experience, don't be deceived to think that when you say that, you're meaning you just want to feel something that's drug-induced but not from a drug. I think a lot of people think of what they're saying. In other words, I want to feel something supernatural, and that's a spiritual experience to me. Don't be deceived, because that's not the whole story. You are having an experience with a person, a living, eternal, existing thing that is just like you, that can think, reason, speak, and do things to you very specifically. They can lead you and guide you astray and talk to you and tell you to do things to destroy your life. Or that spirit can lead you to do things to bless your life. So when you say, I want to have a spiritual experience, I want you to imagine, just for the sake of us being humans in very limited language, that we're talking about a non-physical, invisible, eternal person. Say person. Okay, now the reason we have this desire to have a spiritual experience is because God created us spiritual. God made you spiritual. And when you have a spiritual lacking, is because you have a disconnect with your creator. Don't think you can satisfy that disconnect by going to anywhere else but your creator. Because your creator gave you that craving. And your creator has the answer to that craving. And when you see all these books and all these belief systems about just do this and you can have spiritual, you don't necessarily need the Bible. You can just think and be positive. Be careful, because there's a good spirit called the Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit. And holy says it all. He's holy, perfect. And by the way, he can speak to you. He's smarter than you. He's more powerful than you. He's perfect. And we're going to learn some other things about him. You can have experience with the Holy Spirit, and every other spirit is the spirit of the world, which is evil. Be careful. And we're going to see in a few minutes why they're evil and how you can know and test. And the Bible says, test the spirits. Matter of fact, any spirit that says Jesus Christ is not coming to flesh, that's an evil spirit. So you want to test it, and we'll give you a very foolproof test. So here's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 2. Verse 7, God made the heavens and the earth. He made the fish, the birds, the bees, the land animals, the plants. He made all this stuff, and the last thing he made was man, male, and then he made woe man, female. Everyone say woe man. Woe man, that's what he made. Woe Nelly, okay. He made woe man, or he made a wombed man. He made a human, and then he wombed it. And when he wombed it, there's a whole lot of stuff came with the womb. That's another sermon. We're not going to get into that, but that's what a womb man is. Verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust. Fellas, if anyone ever calls you a dirt bag, there you go. You know, and fellas, we have no problem being called a dirt bag, right? No. You have no problem. You call a girl that, she's like crying. You'll slap you in the head. No, don't call me a dirt. It's like when I go to men's conferences, like, hey, are you looking at all these ugly guys? They say, hey, they start cheering. You know, we're just kind of opposite of women. We're dirtbag. Amen. Say amen, fellas. Amen. Amen. You ain't trying to be anything. You're not. I'm just a dirtbag. And the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Here's what God did. He made the man out of the dirt. Man was dead. And then he breathed into him a person. He breathed into him a person. A living, reasoning, creative, loving, invisible person. Take that person out, you're dead. He breathed into him. Now, what he did was he breathed into him a spirit and a soul. Two different things. The soul is the seat of your emotions, your personality. The soul can communicate with the spirit. The soul can communicate because the soul is your person and the spirit is God's person. They talk to each other. And when you ask Christ to come into your heart, a person, the Holy Spirit, comes, lives in you, and it talks to you. And without Christ, here you are doing your thing, responding to another voice. That's why you got to be careful, because that other voice will inevitably lie to you. That other voice will destroy you. That other voice will lead you astray. You want to be careful when you say, I want to have a spiritual experience, that you're not just looking for a feeling, because that's what getting high is all about. I want to have this other experience. I want to have a human experience plus. Sometimes when people take certain drugs, they say it makes them a better version of themselves. You feel happier. You feel more beautiful. You feel more powerful. That's a spiritual experience, by the way. Matter of fact, the word in the Bible, sorcery, is where we get the word pharmakia, drugs. When you take drugs, you open yourself up to a spiritual experience, and none of them are good. And some of you have taken some of those drugs, know you have experienced something supernatural. Oh, it wasn't God. You thought it was because it was beyond you, but it wasn't God. There's a good spirit, and then there are a whole bunch of what Jesus called unclean spirits, what Ephesians called the spirit of the world, a wicked spirit. You do not want to mess with them because, remember them, they are invisible, non-physical, can manifest themselves into something you see, eternal, much more powerful, much more wise people, persons that can ruin your life. So here's what God did. He made man and he breathed into him this person. This person that can speak to him. Now, why do you have this craving? Because that person is speaking to you, saying, pray, read your Bible, give, serve, love, forgive. And you fight with that person because you don't want to do what he says. Why? Because you don't trust him. You trust somebody else, the other voice. Be careful. And when someone tells you can get to that, you can duplicate that person by thinking positively. That's a lie. This is not a thinking thing. It's a spiritual thing. And you can't think yourself into godhood. You have to receive God because God made you. He breathed in you, that person. He is that person. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians way in the back. So don't go one book at a time. We'll be here till 4 o'clock. New Testament, you're in Genesis is the beginning of the Old Testament. You want to go in about the middle of the New Testament, the first third, if you will. 1 Corinthians 2:9, one of my favorite passages. I got a million favorite passages, so it's true. Someone say, Jesus.
Jesus.
1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, nor ear have heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Thank you very much. Here's what you need to know. Don't read ahead yet. Just look up here for 1 minute. Your eyes have never seen. Your ears have never heard. Your mind has never conceived what God has for you. I have a theory. My opinion means nothing. But in my opinion, is that when we go to heaven, we know this is true because Paul said it. There's colors and sounds you've never seen or heard. But I also believe you may be able to smell colors and see sounds. Sound is a vibration in the air. Color is a vibration of light. That somehow in heaven we may be able to see those things, smell those things, taste those things. And that's not even what this is that's not necessarily what this is talking about, even though, yeah, that is true. I'm talking about what God wants to do for your life. You've never seen, never heard, never conceived. But you know in your heart that there's something more for you. You know that. You know you want that, and you know you think sometimes I deserve better because there's something more for you. And I'm telling you, it's true. God's telling you, your eye has never seen, your ears never heard. And God has not put you on this earth to go figure that out by yourself. He wants to do that with you. Look what it says next. Verse 10. It says, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Stop. God, remember that person I was telling you about? He wants to show you. He wants to. God wants to show you the things that you've never seen, never thought about, never heard that pertain to you. Y'all want that? Raise your hand if you want that. Put your hands down. Let's try it one more time. Put your hands down. Do you really want that? Don't go about finding out about that some other way. The Bible calls it whoring after other gods. Don't go whoring after other gods. The church is the bride of Christ. Don't go whoring after some other god. Let me try to find what God has out for me through money, through women, through sex, through power, through manipulation. You'll never find it because that's not where it is. It says in verse 10, God has revealed those things to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches, yes, the deep things of God. I talk to people, I want to hear the deep things of God. Let me tell you something. The deep things of God is when you get on your knees and you have an experience with God. It's not in words. God wants to show you something. He wants to reveal something to you. And so the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God that pertain to you. You as an individual. Yes, religion breaks God's heart. God did not create the world to have religion. He wanted to have relationship. He wants to have relationship. But you have the ability, because you are a living person, to have a relationship with a bad spirit. And there are many of them. There's only one good one. And they don't all lead to the same place, by the way. All the bad spirits lead away from God. None of them lead to God. That's why they're bad. Let's keep reading. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit. You want to know how you can know the things of God as it pertains to your life? The Spirit. You're not going to figure it out by thinking, though thinking is involved. God is going to reveal them to you. And do you not think? I'm not saying that at all. But if you just think positive, think positive, think positive, open yourself up and do all this mental stuff, and you're not connected to the Holy Spirit, you are in for a rude awakening. God's Spirit is the vehicle through which you have a spiritual experience with your Creator. And God's Spirit knows the deep things as they pertain to you. In other words, when I say this invisible, non-physical, eternal person that can relate to me, that I can talk to, that he can talk to me, that I can pray to, he can pray to me, that he can reveal things to me, he can guide me, comfort me, transform me. This person is in touch and is God, and therefore in touch with every single detail of God's heart as it pertains to me. That's who I want to talk to. If someone ever comes up to you and says, I got a good idea, stop. Is it your? I tell my staff this, by the way. I don't want to hear your idea, and you don't want my idea. I want God's idea. What did God say? Oh, you don't think I got a good idea? Not as good as God. And I don't have a good idea as good as God. I want to talk to God. So, God, you tell me, should I go over there and do that? Should I go to that church? Should I give that money? Should I serve in that ministry? You tell me. Based on your plan and what you know are the deep things of God as pertaining to me, tell me, because the Holy Spirit, this invisible, eternal, non-physical person, knows the fact. I don't want to guess. I don't want to have this, ooh. No, tell me straight. And he will, because he knows. Nobody you know knows what he knows. No other spirit knows what he knows. Don't waste your time. You will be killed. Your life will be ruined. Let's keep reading. Verse 12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us. Say freely. There is a spirit of the world, and that spirit of the world leads to death. Then there's a spirit of God that wants to reveal to you the things that are freely yours. The love God wants to freely give you, the significance God wants to freely give you, the vision and plans and guidance God wants to freely give you. Free. What the devil says is, no, get it on your own. We're going to see that in a minute. God wants to reveal what's free to you. Let's keep reading. Verse 13. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit, say Holy Spirit, teaches. Say Holy Spirit. Say person. Talk to him as a person. He's not a bird. He's not a light. Person. Holy Spirit, what should I do? Holy Spirit, can you help me? Holy Spirit, can you tell me about this person? Holy Spirit, encourage me. Holy Spirit, thanks for being with me 24/7. Talk to him as a person. He's a person. By the way, you sin against the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit. You quench the Holy Spirit. You frustrate him. You can ignore him. Don't do that. It's a person. Don't say, I just want to be spiritual. I go to church, my religion. No, no. You come to church to experience a spiritual God. The Bible says in John 4:24 that God is spirit. You should come here every week. You should come here every week because you want to experience God. And by the way, hear me when I say this. If you don't experience God here, you should go to another church. Why? Because it's not about you coming here. It's about you meeting him. And wherever you got to go, whatever you got to do to make sure you meet the God of this Bible, you need to do that. You do need to do that. If you say, you know what? I feel it better over here. Please go, because it's all about you and God. But you need to meet God. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Oh, by the way, you're the book right before where you were at. You're welcome. Back in Genesis already, Genesis, Exodus already. Verse 26, it says, how many of you have ever prayed like this? Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. You're like, dear God, dear Lord, that person. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Remember that person that knows the deep things of God as it pertains to you? When you get on your knees, that person saying, I know what you're trying to say. I know what you need. I know your pain, and I know God's plan. So come on. Say this. God, here's what they're trying to say. Holy Spirit talking to the Father. They're both God. And when you get on your knees, you're going, God, the Holy Spirit's going, and you're like, the more you're in touch with the Spirit, the more what he's saying will come out of your mouth. The more you hear the Spirit, the more what he says will be in your heart. The Bible says if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean? Is that if you delight yourself in God and God say, your will, not my will, his desires will be placed in your heart. Not you will get what you want. Nah. Well, if I just pray in Jesus' name, no, that's not what it means. That's not what it means. It means that if you delight yourself in God and you surrender yourself to Jesus, he will put his desire in your heart. And you will desire things that your brain will have to catch up on. In other words, your heart will say, go over and serve, and your brain will say, huh? Your heart will say, give that money. By the way, if you want to give it to the crusade and the build the wall, whatever, when you leave, there'll be people buckets. But if you don't want to, that's okay. But the spirit may say, go ahead, you got that blah, blah, blah money. He knows, give it. And so the Holy Spirit's going to whisper to you. And the more in tune you are with that person, everything the person says will always validate everything Jesus said and everything is in his book. They're all, why? Because the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Holy Spirit that lives you, and the Word, who is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The black and red letters is Jesus. And so all those are compatible. And so here you are, you're on your knees, and the Holy Spirit is praying on your behalf. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God as they pertain to you. And what you need to do is say, Lord, tell me what those things are. Please tell me what those things are. I don't want to waste my time with these other spirits. I don't want to waste my time being influenced. Now, you may be saying, I ain't into the other spirits. They speak to you every day. As soon as you turn on the TV, they're talking to you. As soon as you listen to the music. You got the rum shaker video that's speaking to you. Yeah. As soon as you start drinking your liquid courage, they start speaking to you. As soon as you start watching Desperate Housewives, you start wondering if you're desperate. Speaking to you. Why? Because they're giving you a message that the evil spirit wants you to hear and buy into. Look at number two in your notes. We will definitely not get through this message today. Spiritual death or God alienation occurs when we sin. In other words, when you sin, and Adam and Eve sinned, that person left them. That life, I should say, left them. Look at verse 15, chapter 2 of Genesis, back in the beginning. Chapter 2, second chapter in the whole Bible, verse 15. The Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat of the tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you will die. People can deny God all day long. What the Bible says, that if you sin, you die. Are you going to die? Oh, yes. Why? Because God said so. Because it's sin. God said so. Adam and Eve did exactly what God told them not to do, and they died. Now, what died was their relationship with that person. And then that eventually led to them physically dying, which they would have never done. That relationship with that person. The point is this, when you start listening to the other spirit, the spirit of the world, your flesh, your selfishness, your carnality, everything you see on most 90%, well, almost everything you see on TV and the radio, talking about me, anti-Jesus. When you start hearing all that, that is always going to lead you to death. You can hear a little voice say, go ahead and cheat on your wife. It'll kill you. It's going to kill your life. Go ahead and get drunk. It's going to kill you. It's going to kill something. Lie, cheat, and steal. Something's going to die. So the Bible says, well, if you sin, something's going to die. What happened was, the first thing that happened was their relationship died, Adam and Eve. That's why Adam and Eve were hiding from God when they were just walking with him a few minutes later, and now they're hiding from him in Genesis chapter 3. Why? Because their relationship died. Don't listen to the other voices. Don't think this is about you and your own power, you and your own brain power and your positive thought. That's thought. That's not spirit. You can call on some spirits, but you won't get what you're looking for. You will get horror. Every movie you see that's a horror film was never inspired by God, by the devil, killing people, sawing people up, chopping people, shooting them in the head, raping them, molesting them, everything. It's all about desensitizing you to that's not that bad. Because why? It's not about God. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Your next point in your notes, Genesis chapter 3. Satan deceives us to fulfill our spiritual longings in something other than God. The devil wants you to have some other experience because he knows you have this craving. He knows your soul longs for this relationship with this other person. Your soul longs for insight from this other person, God. Your soul longs for the love of another person, God. Your soul longs for the vision and the fulfillment that only God can give you. And what the devil says is you can get it without God. You don't need God. You don't need religion. You don't need the Bible. You don't need some preacher telling you what to do. You don't. You need Jesus, though. But what they want you to do is just do whatever you want. That is the exact words verbatim of Satan. Look, let me read it to you. Is that my opinion? Look, it says in verse 1 of chapter 3 in Genesis, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say you should not eat from the tree of the garden? Did God really say that? Questioning what God said. You better know what God says. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but he said, you shall not eat from the tree of the garden that is in the middle of it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woe man, verse 1, you will not die. Everyone say, that's a lie. Because all y'all going to die. You're going to die. So he lied to you. So why believe anything else he says? Let's keep reading. Verse 5, for God knows, this is him lying again, for God knows that when you eat, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. God is holding out on you. You don't need God. You could do it on your own. That is the message of the devil. You could have this experience and fulfillment on your own. Lie. Some of y'all have lived that all your life. You've been doing it your way, your way, your way, your way. And you're okay because you're not dead yet. You're okay because you're not in prison. Or you got out, so you're okay. You're not okay because you don't have a disease, or the disease you have has a cream. So it's okay. One in every four girls in high school has an STD. And every other person has HPV, human papillomavirus. One in every other person. The devil, it's okay. You're just like everybody else. You're jacked up just like everybody else, so it's okay. The devil wants you to believe that. Why? Because he wants to separate you from that good person. Because he hates that good person. We're here to tell you that good person loves you. And he has no reason for you to hate him. No reason for you to trust him. Every reason for you to trust him. Because the only reason you're alive today is because that good person, the Holy Spirit, has not killed you. And he could have. All God has to do is think about thinking about killing you and you die. It's not hard. He just go, yeah, I think Miles' days are done. Done. And the day I will not die until that moment God ordains. It doesn't matter how it happens. No matter how it happens, don't think, what a tragedy. Don't think, well, that was an accident. No, it was the time God wanted me to go or you to go. And the fact that it hasn't happened yet, you need to be thanking him 50 times 50. But he says here, the devil says, if you do it my way, you can be your own God and have control of your own life and you can have your own experience. What I'm here to tell you is that is a lie, because that experience will not be what you're looking for. It'll kill you. And so here you are. You're human. And God says, I made you. I breathe the breath of life in you, and I give you an opportunity and the ability to have a spiritual experience with me, because you are a spiritual creature, because your invisible, eternal, non-physical person is wrapped up in your body. And your body is decaying. It's getting old. It's getting flabby. It's getting whatever. It's getting shorter. It's getting grayer. It's getting toothless. But the invisible person is still there. And that invisible person that's on the inside is craving for a relationship with the eternal visible person. That's God. And you're telling your body to do all this stuff to try to fill that void, and you're wasting your time. Call on Jesus. So the Holy Spirit, the one who created you, designed you, and has all the needs you want, wants to bless you. So in a minute, we're going to pray, and you're going to have an opportunity. I know I can't get to the rest of the blanks, but you can go online and get it. Matter of fact, let me just give them to you, since I know some of y'all are going to be, he didn't do number 4 and number 5. Huh? They're already filled in. There you go. I don't know why I'm even tripping. I don't know why they're filled in. Maybe God knew I was going to mess up. But anyway. So here's what you need to do. You need to say, Lord, I recognize as a sinner, I am separated from that good person. And I know he's invisible. I know he's there. I know he created the heavens and earth. And I want to have a relationship with him. I long for a relationship with him. I long for a relationship with the person that knows the deep things of God as they pertain to me. Not the one who was trying to destroy me. I want to have a relationship with the person that knows the deep things of God as they pertain to me. The Bible calls it being born again, born of the Spirit. John chapter 3, Jesus said, I want that. And I want to know what God knows about me. He's standing right here. I want him in here. And I want him to reveal it to me. And I want him to implement it in my life. Let's all pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being real. Thank you for being available, patient, loving, forgiving. Holy Spirit, I pray you speak to people right now. I pray you make yourself known to them, that they can't see you, they can't touch you, but they know you're there. They know you are there. They know you are speaking to them. They know you love them. They know you want to forgive them. They know you want to have relationship with them. If that's you and you want God to forgive you, fill you with his Holy Spirit, pray this prayer with me. Praying is simply communicating with God. It's talking and listening to God. It's giving and receiving. It's two-way. So pray with me as he speaks to you. And what he's saying to you is, I love you. What he's saying to you is what the preacher's saying, most of it's true. He's making some mistakes, but most of it's true. But he's telling you that he loves you. God's telling you. And he wants to forgive you. So pray in the privacy of your heart. He hears you, trust me. He knows if you're sincere, trust me. So just pray in the privacy of your heart if you would like him to forgive you today. If you would like to establish a relationship with him today, have a spiritual experience that will eventually lead you to heaven, pray this prayer. Pray, dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know my sin is wrong. I believe Jesus is Lord, that he died and rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me. Holy Spirit, fill me with your presence. Love me. Encourage me. Take over my life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being patient. Thank you for being encouraging and loving. If you prayed that prayer, and you're saying, yes, I want to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want to have a new beginning today. I'm going to ask you in a minute to stand up. By standing up, you are acknowledging, yes, that he is in you, that he is moving in your life. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're saying, yes, Lord, I surrender. Just stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We see you all over the room. God bless you. God is speaking to you. You know it's God. Matter of fact, you haven't heard too much anything different than you've been hearing for years. But now you know it's him. Anybody else, stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you. God bless you. You hear a small, still voice saying, psst, I'm real. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? We see you all over. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Now we're going to ask all y'all who are standing to do one more thing. If you're in the balcony or down here on the floor, in a minute we're going to ask you to come out of your seat and come down to the altar. If you're in the balcony, all you have to do is turn around and walk up. The ushers will tell you what to do. So if you're standing, we're going to ask you to come out of your seat and come on down to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Say, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
God bless you. Stay right there, brother.